before we get into it. So this luncheon, we're focusing on the four particular spiritual gifts. So teaching, knowledge, discernment, and wisdom. And what I would say for all of us, we are all of us more than just one gift. So we're going to be talking about these four, but also understand that Cheryl and Sue, myself, we all have other giftings as well, and they all, God works those out in us. So just know that you may look at this and go, okay, I came because I do have knowledge, but it's kind of my third or fourth one that I'm really service. And so that's okay. We want you here because we want you kind of to figure out how do those marry together, what can that look like. And so again, just know that we're just going to be talking very particular about those four, but for you to kind of be thinking on it. So what I do want to mention is I've just kind of put in here the four and the definition that the church uses in their spiritual gifts text. And so what I want to highlight, so I'm not going to read the definitions. You guys can go back and do that. But when we're talking about if you have a spiritual gift of teaching, it is about how God has gifted you in a way that you're able to communicate effectively so that others can learn. So that's kind of, it focuses more on that he has gifted you in a particular way that you can effectively communicate truths. But then if you have the gift of knowledge, that is the person who God has particularly gifted, that you're able to handle all this biblical information, and that's that person who can kind of put it all together. Have you ever sat by somebody, let's say in a conference, and let's say they bring in some speaker that you're like, I know that he said amazing stuff or she said amazing stuff, but I have no idea what that meant. Then you look to the person next to you and they're like, oh, that was great. When he said this and it connected to this, and you're like, you probably have the gift of knowledge. Because you were able to take those things and put them into some kind of order that makes sense. When we talk about discernment, we're talking about, this is not women's intuition, ladies. This is not women's intuition. This is a spiritual gifting from the Lord that they can discern truth in particular situations. So what I want to say about that is, I have a very particular friend. This is one of her top giftings. I worked in college, in Christian colleges, a lot of discipline committees. And sometimes she was the one that could sit there and really discern, this person is not telling the truth, or there is more to the story. And so that is very, it wasn't a woman's gut intuition. This is very much from the Lord of like, or when somebody's talking, they're able to discern, I don't think this is biblical. There is something that's checking me in my spirit that I need to go back to the Word of God and kind of see. So that's kind of more in the discernment when we're talking about it. And then the last one, wisdom. This is that person who also, they have a good grasp on knowledge as well, but not maybe in a teaching situation, but in those life-on-life situations, they're able to kind of connect, how do you apply God's word in this situation? You know, when somebody is sharing about a heartache, they're that person who has that wisdom who's like, oh, let me take you into this. And let's discuss kind of where we go from here. Does that make sense? Those are broad definitions, but I think sometimes we can think just because somebody's a teacher that they also have knowledge, or they all kind of overlap to a certain extent, but they are unique and distinct in how the Lord has gifted us. Does that make sense? So go back and you can reread as you further study, but I just want to kind of lay that out because, again, we are all groups of spiritual gifting. So like when Sue talks, I think she has almost all four of these on her. So then it's like, but I'm asking her to speak more on discernment, but knowing she also has knowledge, she's teaching, you know, wisdom, those kind of things. So does that make sense? Okay. So I just wanted you to have that. The next thing I just want to mention, as I watch my clock, because I might get them up here, is in this same packet, how do we develop and steward these spiritual gifts well? Pastor Reader's going to be unpacking this for us, and so, but we just want to go ahead and put some things in here. Number one, be a student of the Word. Ladies, that's no matter what your gift is, you need to be a student of the Word. But what I would say to you, in these four particular gifts, they all very much are connected to our understanding of the Word. And so if we want to be stewards in developing the ladies, we need to be women who are faithfully in the Word. Not just a hop and a skip in, a vocational, but we've got to be students. This is how we will develop what the Lord has entrusted to us, the more we know His Word. And I just put on here a few recommendations, just of, if you're like, well, how do I cultivate this? Are there things I should be studying? I think all believers, but especially if the Lord has gifted you these areas, I would say start with Psalm 119. It tells you what the Word does. But then I would say, in the Gospel, go to Genesis and go to Romans. You need to have good foundational understanding of that, everything in the Word. But I would start in those. And then I put on here, on the next page, it's just mentions health. So if you're in these areas, if you want to grow in these areas, there are wonderful resources. I put Women of the Word by Jen Wilkins. If you just need to know, how do you like to study God's Word? To grow in discernment, wisdom, knowledge, and teaching. I also put, we have a thing on Pathway to Preparation. I'll tell you about that later. There are so many online courses. We live in a day where we have access to so much good teaching on the Word. And so there's numerous resources there. So how do we develop and steward? We have to be women of the Word, but we also need to be consistent in our prayer life. And so I just put there, I totally stole this from somebody else, and I didn't mark down who I stole it from, because I can't remember. But I would tell you, it talked about spiritual gifts. It said, ask the Lord to show you where He has uniquely gifted you. Ask the Lord to guide you in using your gifts for His glory, and ask the Lord to grow you in your gifts. And I just thought, that is a beautiful way to start praying. Like, you're like, okay, Lord, we've identified, you know, to a certain extent, some of the gifts you've given me, but God, I don't want this to puff me up. This is for your glory. So start praying that way. Then the last thing I would say, I put on here, how do you develop and grow and steward? Please, you start engaging in ministry. And that's what we want to help you figure that out, is how do you figure out, like, you may have a teaching gift, and in your mind, you may have one little box of what that looks like, but that may not be the good fit. And so we may help you try to, okay, your gift is teaching, but look, there's all these other opportunities that would fit that same gift. And so you may just need to engage and try things out until you find that sweet spot. Teaching is my spiritual gift. But if you put me with a room of, like, five-year-old, I have, like, some of the other children, I will crumble and die. I'm just one child, multiple children. I feel like I'm being swarmed by, like, ladybugs, who are huge individually, but if 25 ladybugs landed on you, you would be grossed out. I feel that way as a kid. And so I am, yes, I'm gifted in teaching, but I know my lane. I know where the Lord has also wired me. So that's part of it too. And sometimes you just have to volunteer. I volunteered with GBS. That's how I found that out. I was in my 20s and they left me in a room and I was like, they are touching me. They're all on me. And I watched things, you know, and I was like, I can't do this. So, Cindy, we're not going to use our microphone. Because I heard I was going to all the rooms. Oh, no, we're good. I'm loud. So, also today, part of what we want to do here today, and the rest of this sheet that is the last 2 minutes I will go over with you, is let's help you figure this out. And I want you to see there are so many opportunities no matter where your gifting is. So with that, I'm going to ask Sue and Cheryl. So Sue Lewis, do you all know both of these ladies? This is Sue Lewis, and so she teaches for us. She disciples. She is pretty much one. Of course, Sue, the joke is that I tell her husband, Dave, your wife is going to hate to get an email from me. Because I'm always like, hey, Sue, can you, you know. And then Cheryl, she has a two kind of, you were a principal for years at the elementary school, and then she was in charge of the women's side of the counseling for the church, and now she's into more of the lay counseling. So I've asked them, just so you know, each one of them, they can stand or sit, you know, however. And then I'll do Donna's part, because I know what she would have said, but I want them just to share a little bit about their particular gifting and how they use it. And I've asked them to kind of speak to different ways that these gifts are used. So, Sue, I'll have you go first. You can stand.
Yeah, Cheryl's going to head to you.
She's the bossy one of the group.
I am. Well, it is good to see all of you. Some I know, and some I'd like to know better. And I am going to speak on discernment. But before I do that, I plan to cover everything that is extra. I learn a lot.
Okay.
Here's the best thing I know.
Okay.
One thing we all need to know is that our gifting, according to 1 Corinthians 12, is for the common good. So it isn't for me to build me up, to make me feel that God has blessed me in a special way, but it's that He wants to pour in, pour out. You know, you think of that as a river, or in John 7, the rivers of living water that Jesus described that we pour out of us. So it's for the common good, and I like to remind myself of that. And over the years, we've been in this church about 62. Over the years, I've had more than one. Well, we need to go to over the years, the inventories that I have taken have never shown up discernment. But I was pleased, but I had to find out what it was and what I was gifted in. And so what is it? I'll read as Christy did from the inventory. It says it's a special ability to know whether certain behavior is divine, human, or satanic. And it gives for reference Acts 16. And this passage is when Paul and Silas were going around doing their thing. This young girl came up to them, and she had this gift of, well, she had a spirit of divination, and just she kept saying things to them, going over it, and it really began to bother Paul. And so he just stopped and commanded that spirit to come out of her. Well, I don't have that gift. If I do, I don't know. You know, we are Presbyterian. And then in 1 Corinthians 12:10, that speaks of being able to distinguish between the different spirits. 1 John 4, 1-6, and this was in your inventory, the references that they give with the definition. And that passage admonishes us not to believe every spirit, but rather test the spirits. And the testing is to see if they're of God or not. And the test that they list is that if a person you're dealing with can embrace Christ and that He is from God, then if they cannot do that, then they are not from God. And I would like to condense this, what that speaks to me, that it boils down to it's either truth or it's a lie. And it's either light or it's dark. And, you know, you can discern the voice that's speaking to you. Does that sound like Jesus? Would Jesus condemn us? Would He be down on us? would he speak light or dark? And that helps me to discern. We don't have to know everything that's constant or alive. We don't have to know that. What we have is truth. As Christy said, the more truth that we have, we can say, well, that's not the truth. It's either truth or light. It's either light or it's dark. And you know, Jesus was the true truth. Francis Schaeffer talked about, he's deceased now, but he talked about true truth. You know, there's things that people claim to be the truth, but is it the true truth? And Jesus is. He was full of grace and truth. He is the distribution point. Have you ever been with someone and without any verbal confirmation, you just knew if they were a Christian? Haven't you done that? Well, the opposite of that is, have you discerned when you were with somebody if they were an evil one? That's part of discerning. This is not something we do on our own. It's not women's intuition. It is a spiritual gift. So if it's a spiritual gift, then we need to be filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit. Now, if that's foreign to you, you can call me. We'll get together and we'll talk about. There's no formula. There's nothing magical. But there is a way that we can appropriate the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And we have to do that in operating in any of our gifts. Or we're just like that dog, that tingling symbol. And one thing that is important, God will not power us up to do our own thing. If we don't want to live for Him, we're living for ourselves. And He's not in that business. So we need to abide in Christ if we're going to operate in our spiritual gift. The spiritual versus the natural is supernatural. And just like our salvation, it's not of us. So none of us can boast. It's of Him or it isn't. I love the story of Caleb. I refer back to it because I would like to be like Caleb. And he had a different spirit. He followed God fully. And that's how he was able, he and Joshua, when they went in to explore the land and find out what was in it. He had discernment. He said, we can do this, guys. You know, we have the mandate to do this. He had a different spirit, and I asked God for that. Now, this, every spiritual gift, I believe, I can't point you to the passage on this, but I believe every spiritual gift has a gift. Knowledge can come up. And I think the flip side of discernment is frequently I am tempted to judge somebody when I discern something. And so that would be the flip side of that. And I personally am learning after all these years not to say, aren't you glad you're not to say everything that comes to my mind.
Absolutely.
Jill and I've been friends for 45 years. So. I've been told often that I'm honest. My mother encouraged this thing in me. She would say in front of people, you don't have to worry about where you stand with Sue. She'll tell you. and she said that it was a virtue. And so I was kind of proud of it. But I have learned that when I'm with someone, when I'm communicating with them, that if something comes to my head, that little still small voice will say to me, don't say that. They can't handle that right now. Even if it's true, even if it would benefit them, you have to listen. I have said before, you have to listen to the people out of one ear and God out of the other. And you don't have to let it come out of your mouth. But we are supposed to speak the truth in love. And that means it's like an envelope. It's enveloped in love. When you're going to give somebody something, you want to put it in that envelope of love. that makes it more palatable. And specifically about my gifting, sometimes I am asked to speak to a group. And I enjoy that. I appreciate that. But my gifting is really one-on-one. That's my motivation. That's my joy. That's what I really like to do. And right after I certified in biblical counseling, I worked in the counseling office for a while, and I used my gifting in that vein. But then I discovered something in the Bible. Not that it's across the board, but it was for me. And that is that Jesus mostly ministered as he went along the way. And that was freeing to me. Now, I want to say that to you because you're looking for a place possibly to use your spiritual gift. Sometimes when I go from the sanctuary to the Sunday school, I have opportunities to minister. The other day when I was walking in my neighborhood, my neighbor three doors down stopped me and said some things to me. And God gave me that short opportunity to minister along the way. Now, it's also when you're seeking your place in the church or the common good, people have said to me a lot of times, pointed out what they thought was my spiritual gifting. I mean, they might not call it that, but listen to people, and that'll help you define it. I can give you examples, but my time's up. I only have one more paragraph. So, people tell me all the time that I have the gift of hospitality. I do not. Peggy Adams and I were talking about that. It is hard for us. We do it, but it is not our motivational gifting. Sometimes people say, I have the gift of service. I do not. One time I remember being in a group like this, and when it was over, I was cleaning up, and I said, what's a nice exhorter like me doing in a place like this? It isn't my gifting, but I do it. And I do it in order to use my gift of knowledge to discern what their need is so that I can exhort and teach. So, in conclusion, Harry mentioned, I think Sunday, that our gifts usually, I guess always, Harry said it, fall into either service or speaking. And so it might help you to figure that out. So that's it. And you'll come on over.
Knowledge had never been
one of the highest of my spiritual gifts. And but it was always there, but not necessarily the highest. So I was a bit surprised. But when I told my husband, he said, that really makes sense. I have this natural inclination for this, as well as the spiritual gift. When we go to a museum, I have to read every single placard and every single display. And he has finished, and he's in the coffee shop waiting an hour or two for me. I have a room full of books. Okay. And so that I've accumulated over many years, and I cannot give up a book. I might need it. So I'm a bit of a hoarder with books. If you need a reference for something, I probably can give you one. But then also, as a child, so you talk about her mother. I'm saying some of the things that she said about Sue speaking the truth. Well, I was involved in sword drills as a good Baptist child. And, you know, we had memorized a lot of verses. My favorite verse from all the verses I memorized was 2 Timothy 2:15. And it starts with my favorite word, study. Study to show yourself approved as a workman who is faithful to God, rightly dividing the word of truth. And Coach Christy and Sue have spoken together, and I'll say a little bit more about that later. So anyway, my husband wasn't surprised, but we needed to know exactly what knowledge looked like. So we went to our little book and read knowledge. The gift of knowledge is the special ability that God gives to certain members of the body of Christ to discover, accumulate, analyze, and clarify information and ideas. And here's where my question comes in a minute, that are pertinent to the growth and well-being of the body. So, you know, there have been evidence, even in the ministries that I've had, of this discover, accumulate, analyze, clarify information, ideas. But my question came, so what do you do with this gift of knowledge to make it pertinent to the growth and well-being of the body? The scripture that went with this was 1 Corinthians 12:8, and I love the little phrase, utterance of knowledge. So it means that part of this, what are you going to do with it, is you're going to utter it. Okay? And the more I thought about it, I thought, well, you know what, I'm thankful because God has already called me to a ministry that employs this gift, as well as the other gifts that kind of are lumped together in this. I would say it's not the service, but in the speaking category, the uttering category. And so the ministry that the Lord has already called me to is the ministry of biblical counseling. It's interesting because I first was called to this ministry not because I thought I had this gift or anything, but I, in the field of education here in a Christian school, I thought, I really need to know more about counseling. So I was introduced by Dr. Irick, who was director of counseling, to the counseling ministry here at Briarwood and the courses that are available here as lay counselors and also through the seminary here. And so that really helped serve a purpose for me when I was in the field of education as a teacher and administrator.
So, but when I left, as Kristen mentioned, I had an opportunity to come here on staff and get to use this kit in the counseling ministry here at Barwood. And so I just really feel blessed as I think about the opportunities I've already had this week. So when I consider the connection between the gifting of knowledge and the ministry of biblical counseling, I think of several longings I have to know. Okay? Here's the word, to know. Knowledge, knowledge. So, a longing to know more of God. A longing to know more about people. To know scripture. To know biblical principles. And to know how to apply this knowledge to life circumstances. So, actually, that's what a biblical counselor does. In this desire, this longing to know, then the opportunity to utter what you know, typically in a one-on-one situation. When I was first called to counseling ministry, God used Paul's words in Colossians 1:28-29 to draw me deeper into counseling ministry. This was as I was praying about this job with the church. And it says, Him we proclaim, Christ we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. So that was my calling. And then, even I'm still being called. And I don't know if you remember, but a couple of years ago, Briarwood had our 70 days of fervent prayer. Okay? And I saved the prayer that spoke so much to me during that time. So I'm going to read it to you. And you can see, this is my prayer. It says, Father, give me a deep hunger for your word. You've taught me that I know you by your word, and you feed my soul with your word. Give me a deeper hunger to hear your word preached and taught, to study your word, and to walk according to your word every day of my life. In the scripture there, it's on Psalm 119:105, that inspired that prayer that I've saved and prayed almost daily since week 6, October 19, when I got it into the year. I'm going to use another biblical counselor's words to kind of describe a little bit of what biblical counselors do. So, biblical counseling is a process where, by God's grace, we enter a person's world with compassion and sincere care and get to know them. We get to know their situation, their problems, perceived needs, how they think, what they feel and value and desire. And with that, we think about Proverbs 20, verse 5, that says, the purpose in a man's heart is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. And that's the role of a biblical counselor. And someone might say, well, you know, what about discipleship and biblical counseling? What's the difference? They're both a one-on-one kind of situation, typically one-on-one situation. Well, the biblical counseling usually starts because a person comes to them with a problem. And so we move through the problem and the application of God's word and their thinking and doing. And often then it moves to a broader base of discipleship. But it begins typically with the problem. So a biblical counselor interprets what we know about a person and their concerns through a biblical lens and brings Jesus and his word to those we counsel. In biblical counseling, we have, you might call it a theme verse, and it's 2 Timothy 3:16. You know, it follows 2 Timothy 2:15.
The study.
Here's what we know. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent and equipped for every good work. So, theme verse for biblical counseling. Now, we all refer to Pastor Reeder. I wonder why, but and Pastor Reeder's words. Okay, you know, the words of own mission, own message, and ministry. Okay. Biblical counselors are mission to God's glory. It's not our own. God's glory, own mission. Own message, God's word applied to life. And in ministry, pertinent, remember my question earlier, pertinent to the growth and well-being of the body. So if you are wondering about biblical counseling, how can I get involved in biblical counseling? Well, I have a resource and then a suggestion, a couple of resources. First resource would be Dr. Cloud's Wednesday night lay counseling class. And find out so much. I talked with him the other day because, you know, here we are in the second semester of that class, and I thought, well, I might have to tell people they need to wait until the fall if you're really interested. Well, if you want to start the class, it begins in the fall. However, he said, any of you who are interested in learning more about the biblical counseling, lay counseling, biblical ministry here, then you are invited to come to the class and to learn. And so if you are interested in that, let me know and I will get you connected to that. Another thing, if you are a book collector and you like resources, just a very intro book to the body, you can use it in many ways other than just biblical counseling, but it would be an intro book to the thinking behind some biblical counseling, is a book written by Paul Tripp called Instruments in the Redeemer's Hand. So, just a resource, and then I had an idea. There's not a one of us in this room who doesn't have some kind of concern or problem or challenge or a child with one. And so, here's an idea. It would benefit you to study everything, to identify your problem or challenge, thinking, or behavior. Okay, identify that, and then use the Bible to do a deep study on that particular concern. And then, after you've used the Bible to do that deep study, then to investigate what are some of the biblical resources available, and you can talk to me. But available that might help you know where in the Word and connect some things in the Word to help you think through this problem and build through a biblical lens. So, again, talk to me if you have any questions, and I would love to see or hear that some of you are involved in the biblical lay ministry here at Barbara.
For them, but they know about them. So we're only going to talk about candidates on this part. So, but part of this is, well, let me mention. So Donna, hers is teaching. Mine is teaching as well. But what I was going to have Donna share with you, Donna, part of her teaching started out with writing. Because teaching is this aspect of communicating truths to help people understand. And so she actually started out through just her own, as she would read the Word and process her own personal situation. So it was through writing. So many of you guys know Bible Bits. That's how it started. And so what I wanted her to highlight is sometimes when we think if we have the gift of teaching, we narrow it down to, therefore I must teach a women's Bible study. But your teaching, God may say, but it's not necessarily through, you're still communicating, but it may be through the written word. It may be through different things. So I just wanted you to know that was one thing that she was going to really highlight, is that teaching can also be through the written word of God, through the written application of it. And for her, that was one way the Lord developed her teaching. And then also used it to impact an even wider group of people than she could have ever imagined. Because then it was passed on. Oh, did you read this? Let me pass it on to you. So she wanted just to make you start to think, if you or somebody in this room who has a gift of teaching, start thinking there are other avenues for how that can look and at different seasons in your life. So that's where my question comes. For these two ladies here, is how have you guys seen your gifts be used differently through different seasons of your life? So when you were at home raising lots of little ones, you know, that looked different than maybe it does now. So we have women of all different ages and stages in here. So just for them to kind of get a picture of maybe what did one-on-one discipleship look like when you were at home with babies versus outside, you know, Cheryl, what did using knowledge look like before you were in the counseling world? So, whoever wants to go first.
My being home with all those little children was for two daughters 13 years apart. So, I did have opportunities, but I also worked outside of the home. During those years, I taught here too, and I did some other things. But there were always people in my life who I was drawn to and they were drawn to me. I still thank the Lord that I had a ministry in the lives of my adult children and even our grandchildren. So that the Lord has many opportunities. I don't know if that's
Because I think sometimes women especially I think in complementary churches, which we firmly believe is God's word, sometimes we look and go, there's nothing official for me to do. Therefore, churches are against women using their gifts. That doesn't always happen, but those are conversations I have sometimes with women who are frustrated. But what we're saying is, just even from what Sue said, if your gifting is discernment, it's teaching, knowledge, wisdom, God has placed people in the church in your everyday lives that He's asking you to use those gifts in that, and that is so important. I would even say it might be even more important than when I stand up and teach a group of 50 ladies who then go home, and I don't have a day in, day out interaction
Whereas what she talked about is the teaching of her child day in and day out. You want to talk about something that is a high calling from the Lord? And so I say that, so that's why I'm asking these questions, because I think sometimes we can think it's so narrow and we can elevate something as if that's the only usefulness of my gift that seems valid. And that is not at all what God's word says. And so, does that make sense? Okay, so, yes, exactly. So, Cheryl, anything you want to add on yours?
Nothing really to add, except that I've seen these gifts and others that are closely related take different importances, become more important in life, you know, through the seasons of life. So that at this particular time, even as an educator, administrator, you know, that this gift of knowledge was particularly highlighted. But at other times, it was teaching.
In their life, to give knowledge to a situation, to even have a teaching moment. And so that's what the body looks like. And so if you're in a grocery store, or if you're, you know, those kind of things, like, just, I think for us to have a bigger sense of how God wants to use the giftings he has given us for the body, and not to anchor it to a position or to an event or to a title, or, you know, because those are things that we can all do. I've been in that. I was at a previous church, and I'm gifted in teaching because the Lord has done that in my life, and I was getting frustrated because I wasn't getting the opportunity to teach women's Bible study, you know, because in any big church, there's 90 bazillion hoops to go through, and now that I'm on the other side, I'm like, praise the Lord. But when you're in it, but then I had to stop and realize, but God, you are giving me lots of teaching opportunities to use this gifting you've given me. And why am I diminishing those as if those are not important? And so it was a good opportunity for me to step back and go, God, forgive me for thinking that you would only want to use me in X kind of way. Does that make sense? So, last question for them, because I want to leave.
It's particularly in the gifting of discernment. The other day in a funeral, I was sitting with these two women that were in their late weekend. And they said, you know, I just can't do another funeral. I'm so sad. And then without speaking directly to what's on their heart, I knew what they were talking about. And God gave me the words. I said, well, there are a lot of things we don't know. And we need to wait for the hidden things to be brought to light. And I said, but here's what we know. We are under attack. You see, that was the discernment. I didn't even realize it. And I don't know what I said else. But when I got home, I texted them both in a joint text. And I just cautioned them. And I said, this time last year, on Valentine's Day, I found out about Robbie Zacharias' fall from grace. And I was crushed. And the first thing I did was go to Harry for validation. And Harry said to me, fix your eyes on Jesus and prepare your heart for this appointment. Mm-hmm. And that got me through. And so I said all that to them, and individually they answered and thanked me. And so we need to dispel the works of darkness with truth and light and fix our eyes on Jesus.
Anything you guys want to add before I go through the final stuff with them? If you guys want to talk with them, they're here afterwards, about discipleship, one-on-one, how do you do that, what does that look like, counseling, just all those, please, please take advantage of that while you're here. So,
there you go.
You can finish, eat your meal now. And so, I want to... So the last thing I want to do, just in about 10 to 12 minutes here, is I want us to go back to this sheet, and I want us to talk through, because I think some of why you guys might be here is like, okay, so I have this gift, you've shown me, you've given us, you know, Cheryl and Sue, you know, how Donna uses her gifting and teaching, but you may be going, I still don't know what I'm supposed to do with this. Other than if somebody stops me in the hall, I need to see the divine appointment and step into that. And so, but you may be going, but is there more? Is there more that the Lord may be stirring? And so I want to, on here, we're not going to go, like, I want you to be scared, like, every line I'm going to go to something here. But I want you to see on that where it says, what are some options to consider as we look to deploy our gifts of teaching, knowledge, wisdom, and discernment? And I put the little paragraph there, the caveat. Remember, most people have multiple gifts, and we'll need to look at how they all fit together. So just because I've listed these, you may go, but they're not quite the right fit. That's okay. We just want you to start thinking. And as Harry Reader has said a few times, one of the best ways to learn what your gifting is to engage in it and see, just like I did with those little kids. So I just wanted to list some of the things. So, like, I put on here children's ministry. A caveat there with ministry to children and youth. You're not going to be able to walk out of here and go, I'm going to sign up for that. We have a thing called ministry state. And so you have to go through that training, but you can talk to Jay Shaw. He's over both areas, and he can get that done for you. So there are some hoops to go through on some of these things. But I want you to be thinking, some of you may not be wired like I am. And you're like, I would love to come in, and maybe I'm not gifted in teaching, but I am gifted in wisdom and knowledge. I would love to be around that age group. That's not necessarily a spiritual, I think it should be a spiritual gifting to work with kids. But yeah. It's just going to be how God has wired you. And so you may want to start exploring there. So I have put, for Sunday school teachers, which they always do, and they would love for you just to check it out. There's also BBS, which I gave you the handout from Raleigh McCoy. If they need shepherding, which is people with wisdom, discernment, able to communicate the Bible to little kids for 1 week of your life. That is a prime time to check out if kids and any of these gifts are good in that. So that's on your table as well. So children's ministry is a fantastic place to look. They have communicants class, so maybe you are gifted in teaching, and you can take some of the harder concepts and communicate that in a way a seven-year-old can understand something. I got down like that were seven-year-olds. So that's something to think about, connect ministry and nursery. And so I just want you guys to start thinking, are my giftings, is this the area where God may want to use this? Little kids have struggles, and sometimes they need a not a mommy. They need another woman who can speak into their lives. Does that make sense? Okay. But youth ministry as well. Again, the ministry safe is required. But y'all, I think for us, wisdom, discernment, knowledge, and teaching, you want to talk about an age group that's under assault in this culture? That is that age group. And they need multiple voices from adults who can speak truth into the lives. And I'm not a mother, but for my friends who are mothers, that's also the age group where all of a sudden moms become less smart to them. And so moms are always looking for who's the other adult woman I can trust to speak in. One of my very favorite stories was actually from Melinda Blackman. She was telling how her and her husband, their daughter wanted to date somebody that they just didn't think was wise. And she was like, you guys are so jacky. And this is in high school. And I hope I'm not telling something I'm not supposed to. So she said, then all of a sudden, Jay Shaw, who's over the youth ministry, had the same conversation with her. And she came home, Mom, he just loves me so much. And he wants to make sure that I'm not making unwise decisions. And they were like, he did the exact same thing that we did, but we were judging. But I say that to say, that is a ministry that needs women who are grounded in the truth, who know it, who are discerning, who are wise, who are able to teach. That is highly important, ladies. So if that is an age group that you're like, I want to just check that out, on your contact, the youth ministry, and they actually have a form. You can go on their website that I put on here for you to volunteer. And so it may be like you need to test it out before you commit to things, those kind of stuff. But I would highly encourage that. I put on here college ministry, another group under assault. And so Genevieve is always like, yes. And so let me highlight this here because this is going to be college, singles, adults. We always need women who are willing to be the older woman in a mentoring and discipling relationship. I have plenty of younger women, but typically I have older women who are like, I can't do that. I don't know what that is. I can't. I don't have, I sinned. I mess up. And it's like, they don't understand. And so you all have tested high on God giving you wisdom, knowledge, discernment. That doesn't mean you're the only ones who can do this, but I think it's something that some of you might want to start praying about. That one-on-one, how do I just do life with somebody younger, pointing them to the truth. Maybe they're not, and most of these aren't women who are in a crisis situation. They just want a woman who's further along, who will listen to them, and then when they're complaining about, you know, this girl and this boyfriend and all this kind of stuff, to have a wise, discerning voice to speak truth into that. That's a huge ministry. It's not glamorous. We don't take out posters and say, look what so-and-so did, but we can change a life. And that's what God has called some of our women to. So that might be something that you might be called to. So that's not just in college ministry, but that's in singles. And hey, shout out to Elizabeth. If you want to help with the single women in that capacity, talk to Elizabeth. We have a lot of women in that category there, single, and that's a high transitional time. There's a lot of struggle with who you are because God is not answering your prayers. You're not having a husband by 28. Your job that you thought was temporary is now permanent. And you're like, this was supposed to be a second income. No, there's a lot of beautiful things that happen. But there's a lot of hardships that they need women who can speak in and point them to the truth of God's word and the hope that they have in Him. Not necessarily a hope for a husband. The Lord will take care of them, but their hope is grounded in the Lord. That is teachers, that is people with knowledge, that's people with wisdom, that's people with discernment. That's you guys, okay? So, okay, signed up for everything. That's not the point of it. I just want you to see there's places for you. Women's ministry, obviously this is in my area. I got 2.5 minutes here, so I'm going to go back. We do have big teaching opportunities, but here's what I want you to say. They're no more important than the smaller teaching opportunities. And so we have writing opportunities. We have a women's care team. We need women with great wisdom to serve on teams who can help us point back and go, hey, is that really the most important thing? Help us wade through some stuff. We always need disciplers and mentors. So all of that, women's stuff, I could talk for hours on it, but anyway. One thing I would mention on your table, if you want to teach in women's ministry in an official capacity, you have to go through one of our trainings. And so we have the pathway to preparation, that's on there. But it doesn't, if you go through it, doesn't mean you necessarily want to teach for us. It's good training for anybody. It just helps you go a little deeper in how you study the word so that you can teach it. It's very particular so that you can communicate it. Congregational communities. I still come from a Baptist girl Sunday school. So Sunday school classes. Here's what I would say to you. As you identify what your gifts are, start talking to the congregational pastor of your class or the shepherding team. If you are high on knowledge and discernment and you would be really good in one-on-ones, maybe start talking to them and say, this is an area I'm gifted. Where in our class do you see this being used? I want to serve very particularly in here. I can't tell you what that would look like, but start having those conversations and letting them know. On the back side, counseling ministry. Cheryl has done a fantastic job. I would like Chesley Bead down there. She said, please, 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 please. We always need lay counselors. We will train you. We will walk through this with you. And her big thing is, do not be scared of this. Do not be scared. This is what we're all called to walk with another person. You just get the training on how to do it. And so knowledge, wisdom, discernment, teaching, those aren't the only people who go into this, but you are prime for the pump to kind of move into this. So be praying about that. There's evangelism opportunities where teaching is very much needed. Christianity Explored. The women's business leaders, I just met with August Griffin. They're desperate for women who will mentor and teach for them. Desperate for them. International ministries, if you, let's say you are high in knowledge, but you also scored high in missionary, maybe ESL or Champions International is a good fit for you. Local ministries, Save a Life, Life on Wheels, Restoration Academy, Grace House, Hope Healthcare, National Ministry Partners, even our Love Ministry, every one of those has a component where they may need women who are willing to sit down and speak with women who need to hear truth. And so these are speaking gifts that we're talking about today. And so these all have needs. CMMA, if you're in the medical world, I'm sure Bobby Parks would be like, hey, talk to me. So there's Jan. So she can kind of help you connect to there with their stuff. What I want you guys to walk away from here is I want you to start praying and asking the Lord, God, where do you want to develop my gifting? So where do I need to, like Cheryl said, start honing in and practicing, even discerning my own situation and, you know, walking through how would I deal with this then. But then if it's teaching, how do I grow in that skill? If it's counseling, how do I grow in that skill? Like just really starting to spend the time to do the work to ask the Lord to grow it, but then also asking the Lord, where should I step my foot into the water to see if this is the right thing? And then not to diminish how the Lord uses those things, those giftings in one-on-one conversations here and there. And to realize you have a vital, important part of this body here at Briarwood. And the Lord is using your giftings, whether or not you see it in an official capacity or not, but for you to say, hey, God, you're going to keep using me. You placed me in this body. Help me to grow in it. Help me to be prepared for that conversation that I don't even know is going to happen. Help me to be a yes, so when Christy calls and says, I have a woman who needs a mentor, that I've already worked through that with you, and I'm willing to be the yes. Any comments, questions before I pray and we can go? So I know that that was quick, but that's only a lot of time we have for this. We will have more of these. The next one will be in March, and it will focus on hospitality, shepherding, and exhortation. The next one will focus on service, health, giving, and then we'll keep adding them as we go. Because you may look at this and go, okay, this was kind of like my number three, but I really want to know how hospitality and knowledge work together. I can't necessarily tell you how that works, but the Spirit can. And He can say, oh, let me develop in you how I want you to use knowledge and hospitality together. Yes.
So, Christy, for those that may not have done the scripture gifts inventory, where did that go?
We will post it on the website. That is a great question because we are using the one from the shepherding office, and we did it at the retreat, but we have it now in a version where it's not goofy when you open it. So, or you can email Amanda Peterson or myself, and we can just shoot it to you until it gets up on there. But that's a great question. And so let's be excited. Yes.
Is it the same one used to bring you joy?
It is. Okay. It's the same one. We don't do the disc part. It's just the spiritual gifts. So. Okay, well, I'm going to pray for us. Please. Okay. We announced this just through the newsletter, but all of you who were at the retreat, you got the special invite. And so as we grow, we'll keep doing it. Because once you know what your gift is, send it to us. It is so much fun. We have this chart that I could go, who's my intercessor? And I will say this. So I'm teaching administration and leadership for my group. My very bottom is giving, service, and mercy. But here's how that looks for me. I always hate to ask people to serve because I hate to be asked to serve. Not that I won't, but that's not my natural, like, oh my goodness, are they going to ask me to do something? You know, I'm just wired that way because I'm not gifted from the Lord. Now, I will serve and, you know, show mercy. But this has helped me because then I'm like, these are people who want to be called. They love to serve. When I call this person, they already have said yes 15 times. Or somebody who's an intercessor, like if I call Amy Butler and say, will you pray about this? She will have worked out a whole program of how she's going to pray and when she's going to pray, because that's one of her giftings. So I'm not asking her to do something that the Lord hasn't gifted her to do. Does that make sense? So it helps us to know, you know, because I will call some women and they are not teachers. And so if I say, will you come and do this? Oh, I'm thinking, why would you not? That's the best thing to do. Yeah. And when they're not, they're like, no, give me a clipboard and let me serve food. So, yes.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yes.
Okay, what if you, when you're looking at your gifts, but then you see someone that really does have that gift, and you're like, oh, they're going right now.
Yeah.
And that really is the person that has that gift.
Yes.
And you compare.
Yes, that is a great question. That happens a lot. I will speak as one who teaching is my gift. And this was good that Sue brought up. It is good to know what you are prone to. And what I mean by that is in teaching, for me, I had to quickly understand the amount of people who are coming to your study does not say that it's more effective or less effective, or that it's being more used by God or less used by God. And so if I were to sit there, I could go, well, I only had 7 people, but Donna had 42. And so maybe I shouldn't do it because she's much better. It's like, no, those 7, they hear the way you teach. And they need to be in your setting. And so it's not a comparison. It is, our women's care team just met last night. We're preparing to kind of work with women in crisis. And what is so beautiful, we have all different temperaments in that group. And so even for me, as I'm thinking, who would I assign to who, you know, just kind of going in my head, you have some people that I'm like, every one of these could meet with this person well. But now I get the opportunity to go, but this one just might be the right fit for this person. That's who this person will hear this from. The same truth, but they will hear it better from this person, whereas somebody else would hear it better from this person. And so so that is a great thing, but we have to lay that aside, because my temptation is when I'm falling into that, it's because I want it for my glory. I want to be the teacher who has 50 people. And it's like, that has nothing to do with the Lord, does it? That's all about Christine. So yeah, so that is a great thing. It's not for us to measure. Yes, Melody?
Well, it made me think of Pastor Reader said on Sunday about the, like, different talents. Because you have, like, the person with 1 talent and the person with 10 talents, both were given something to steward. Yes. And all the members of the body are needed. You're just as thrown off balance by a pinky missing as a big toe missing. Like, everybody's needed.
Think about that the next time you bite your tongue and it almost takes you out. You know what I mean? That little thing we never think about, that when you bite it, you're like, and you keep biting it. Keep re-aggravating it, and you're like, that seems so ridiculous, you know. But it's very important to my daily satisfaction of not, you know, having to deal with it. So, okay, I'm gonna pray, and then you're welcome to stay and visit, ask questions, talk with different people, brainstorm. Feel free to email me, Amanda, Elizabeth with Singles, Sue, Cheryl, any of us. If you want to talk more about this, I think all of us would be happy to do that. And we'll just help you explore how you can be used and where. But remember, you are a vital part of this body. God brought you here. We're going to be used here. And we're going to be excited about it. Let me pray before I keep saying ridiculous answer. God, thank you for these ladies. Thank you that you and your sovereign will have gifted each one of us so uniquely for the purpose of ministering within this body and then outside of these walls. God, thank you that only you could do that, and you so, like, you designed us for your purposes. And so God, help us as we wait to be deployed. God, I pray that you would grow in us a hunger to be used, and that we would have your eyes to see where you want to use us. And so God, we want to come with you with open hands and just say, God, place us wherever you want so that we can be used to bring glory to your name. So thank you for these women, and I pray that you be with them as they go their separate ways. In your son's name we pray, amen.